Well, when I was a young singleton living in San Francisco in the 1980s, I placed a relationship ad in the Bay Guardian. And as a result of that ad, I went on several bad dates. And I'm going to tell you about the worst one. Steve was an emergency room doctor, tall and blonde and tan. Most of these guys sent photos. And his letter made him sound like a nice, normal person. And he was very easy to talk to on the phone. In fact, I was so confident that we'd get along that I suggested that instead of meeting for coffee, we go on some sort of outing. And he thought that was a great idea, and he suggested sea kayaking because he owned two kayaks, and I had never done that before. And so I went along with the plan, and we decided he would pick me up at my apartment on Saturday morning. Now, I knew it was risky to have a stranger come to my apartment, so I arranged for my best friend, Jane, to meet us there so she could take down his information in case something happened to me. And this was also risky because Jane was very pretty. But I decided to take my chances, weighing the two risks. So on Saturday morning, Steve arrived to find two young women waiting for him. And we all laughed about why Jane was there, but she did take down his name and driver's license number, etc. And then Steve and I got in his little truck, and there were two yellow plastic kayaks in the back, and we took off. And we drove across the Golden Gate Bridge into the wilds of Marin, chatting the whole way. Steve was very gregarious, though not as intellectual as I'd expected, considering he was a doctor. He sounded more like a 12-year-old surfer. But but things were going along fine. And then we reached our destination, and he parked the truck in kind of a sandy, wooded area. And before I knew it, he had jumped out of the truck, grabbed one of the kayaks, and taken off down this path through some trees. He just vanished. So I got out, and I started pulling one of the kayaks, the other kayak, out of the back of the truck. But it was surprisingly heavy for being like a flimsy plastic thing. And I couldn't possibly hoist it up over my head and walk God knows how far, like Steve had. So I just stood next to the truck, unsure of what to do, and I thought, he's coming back, right? Isn't he? But I wasn't sure, and I waited and waited. And then another car arrived, and it was a dad and his teenage son. So I sheepishly approached them and explained the situation. And they didn't say much, and they just grabbed the kayak, and they started off down the path, and I followed them. It just took us a few minutes to reach the small beach where Steve was waiting. He looked a little cross, and he saw us, and he said, "What's going on?" And I said, "Well, the kayak was too heavy for me, so these nice guys carried it for me." And he said, "You have to carry your own boat." And although I'd have plenty to say now, back then I wasn't a very assertive person. So I said nothing. And Steve taught me how to paddle out straight through the waves, which thankfully weren't huge that day. And so we found ourselves out in the ocean. I'd never done this before, sitting right there on the water. And it was lovely to feel so much a part of nature, you know, floating along with the seabirds. But it was also pretty scary. You know, I felt kind of small and vulnerable, which I think is most people's reaction to being in a small boat in the big ocean. And it was also an overcast day, and that always just makes the ocean seem ominous. You know, that gray, murky water, and it seems a little more sharky than on a sunny day. But we paddled along. And I was pretty much enjoying it, and Steve was pointing out various landmarks, and he spotted some sea caves, and he got all excited, and he said, "We should go exploring. You know, we can go in those caves." And this idea was so ridiculous that I did assert myself, and I said, "I'm a beginner. I can't ride a wave in through a narrow opening into a cave. I'll just get dashed against the rocks." And he said, "No, it's not that hard. I could teach you how to do it." And I said, no, you know, "I'd really prefer it if we just paddled around out here." And he was quiet for a minute, and then he said, well, would you mind if I went and explored the caves? And I said, well, yeah, I would mind. I think I'd be pretty uncomfortable out here in the open ocean by myself. So could you just stick by me and we could just, you know, enjoy what we're doing? And then he started sulking, you know, like a little kid, just really sulking and saying, you know, it'd be so fun. And it was such a bummer that he'd driven all this way and he wasn't going to get to see the caves. And I said, you know, you can come back another day. And he was quiet for a little while. And then all of a sudden, he just took off, just started paddling furiously towards the shore. And I watched him disappear into the surf and then, whoosh, he was gone. And I'm sitting out in the ocean by myself in my little boat. And there's another human being in sight. And I'm thinking about all the creatures that are swimming around down there that I won't see until the last second, until it's too late. And I was mad at myself. You know, I was mad at him, but I was mad at myself for getting myself in this position because we could have gone for coffee. And this date would have been over like 3 hours ago. So after a while, he came paddling back, big smile on his face. And I said, why'd you do that? I asked you to stay with me. And he said, oh, but I just had to. It. And it was so cool. You just have to see those caves. We have to go in another one. You have to go with me in another one. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Please stay with me. And we paddled along for a while. And he took off again. He took off again, and I was just furious. He didn't even say anything, paddling away. But, you know, what were my options? So I decided the best thing to do would be to get a little closer to him. And so I just paddled over there and just stayed right outside where the wavy part of the waves, you know. And I just sat there fuming. And after a while, he reappeared. And he said, great, you changed your mind. And I said, no, I didn't. And he said, I'm very fuzzy on this next part. But Steve somehow convinced me to give this a try. So he points out another cave. He explains how we're going to do it. And in a few minutes, I find myself lined up behind him. And he gives the command, and we start paddling. And I am riding a wave towards this wall of rocks. But miraculously, he shoots in and I shoot in after him and I'm just kind of knocking against the rocks on either side of the opening, but I make it. And we're sitting inside a small, dark cave. And Steve said he was surprised at how small it was. And when the water receded, as it does, our boats sort of spun and bashed against each other. And Steve said he thought he'd better leave. One of us had to leave. And when the next wave came in, we swirled around again, and we were sort of pushed against the back of the cave. And then when it was sucked out again, he went with it. Now I was alone in the cave. And he said, you know, I'll shout instructions. I'll tell you what to do. So he leaves. And I'm sitting there in this cave, and now the next wave is coming. And this was the most terrifying thing. And I think during this whole process, I was either saying, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, or oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, some combination. Because what's really scary about this situation is when the wave is coming at the cave, there's this opening, and the wave is as tall as the opening. The wave is filling up the whole opening. So you get the impression that water's going to fill the cave up, leaving no air. And this is what I thought I was dealing with. But no, as soon as it comes in, there's like some chaos, and then the water rises, the kayak, you know, of course, rose. But there was still a few feet of air there. You know, my head was still in air. So I was grateful for that, but it's still pretty terrifying. So I rise up, and then when the wave leaves, the water lowers, and I spin in the other direction, so it was just like being in a giant toilet. And I can hear Steve yelling. I can hear his voice, but I can't make out what he's saying. He's yelling his instructions at me, but I can't hear him. I don't know what to do, so I just stay in there. And this happens a few more times. Up, down, up, down. Finally, I hear him, I understand him, and I get it. So I'm supposed to point, you know, towards the opening. I'm supposed to kind of ride a wave out, you know, the next wave out, and I'm supposed to use my paddles to kind of protect me from. So, but it's all, I'm kind of, it's all out of control, and I am sucked out of the cave. I do make it out of the opening, bashing the rocks on either side, but I'm out, I'm free, and I'm safe. On the drive home, I was absolutely giddy with joy and relief. And Steve misinterpreted my mood. And he kept talking about what we were going to do on our next date. And I was just vague and noncommittal about that because I didn't think I owed Steve anything. I didn't think I owed it to him to tell him the truth, that I wouldn't dream of going on a second date with someone so immature and incompetent and irresponsible. When I got back to my apartment, I went in and I called Jane and I told her about my horrible date. And that was really satisfying.